Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Dr. Stacy Sowards. Dr. Sowards is the chair of the Department of Communication. She's also recently published a book, Si Ella Puede. It's about Dolores Huerta, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Stacy, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, for people who may not be familiar with your career.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been at UTEP since 2004. I also did my master's degree here from 1995 to 1997. And I had minored in Mexican studies as an undergraduate. So it's coming to the border and the El Paso region was a really exciting opportunity for me to do my graduate work and then to carry forward with that kind of work, which eventually led to looking at Dolores Huerta and the farm workers.
Now, originally, you are from Colorado, I believe. So what brought you to UTEP?
Well, so as an undergraduate, like I said, I had minored in Mexican studies and I had never been to the state of Texas before. I drove down here in my U-Haul truck and I was just really excited to be on the border and to see what that was like. And I ended up really loving El Paso and wanted to come back. So when I had an opportunity to come back as a faculty member in 2004, I took it and I've been here ever since and I've loved it.
As I mentioned, you are the chair of the Department of Communication and a lot of people may have some misconceptions about the Department of Communication. They'll say, well, communication, media, yes, we have that. But there are a lot of other facets to this major in this department, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us for people who may be considering majoring in communication.
Sure. So I think when we think of communication, we think of things like journalism or advertising or video production, which are all elements of our department, to be sure. But we also have a lot of people doing really impressive research in environmental, intercultural, international communication topics. And so, for example, in my own work, I've worked in Indonesia studying how environmental organizations advocate on behalf of different conservation issues. And then I've done work studying Dolores Huerta and speakers and how they engage in rhetorical agency and what that means for people who see them as social movement icons and what that means for the social movement itself.
So as I mentioned, the name of the book is Si Ella Puede. You examine Dolores Huerta's rhetorical skills in both in and out of the public eye. Tell us a little bit about how you came to this topic, about your research, and what led you to all this. I know that you followed her career, and she has been in El Paso a couple of times. And most would recognize her as left or right hand of Cesar Chavez with the United Farm Workers Union. And sometimes because of that association, she gets overshadowed and people don't realize just how much she actually did.
Exactly. I was living in Detroit, Michigan, working at the University of Michigan in Dearborn back in around 1999 until 2000. And I really wanted to study Chicana feminism. And so I started looking for people who were representative of Chicana feminism. And I came across the Wayne State University archives, which house all of the United Farm Workers archives. And so I was able to access 40 boxes of unprocessed archival material in that library. And they had just a couple of her speeches that had been written or typed up, transcribed, and a few other documents. But it was really being able to go through these unprocessed materials and her work in that archive that led me to this broader project. So I had gone to UCLA and the Yale University's Beinecke Library and done all sorts of archival work. But then also I have been attending her speeches and different kinds of events that she's hosted over the past 20 years or so. And so it's been a really great opportunity for me to learn all about her life and how she navigates and negotiates these different kinds of social, material, economic, political constraints.
So was there something in particular that you were looking for when you were doing your research and listening to some of these speeches? Because in the book you analyze, you kind of look at some of the other people who have written about her and compare that and to your observation. Was there something in particular that you were looking for, or did something jump out at you that you weren't aware of before?
Well, I think there are two things that I want to mention. One is that a social movement isn't just about one person like Cesar Chavez or Martin Luther King, but it's about all of those people that support the main leader or other leaders within a social movement. And so we don't just necessarily become these outspoken political advocates on our own. It takes this network of people. And in the book, I explored this relationship that Dolores had with Cesar Chavez. And my argument is that she had a lot of doubts and insecurities, especially as she was starting out. She definitely cared about social justice her whole life, something that originated in her family life as she was growing up. But then how does she become this outspoken advocate on behalf of farm workers? And how does she know how to take these risks? How does she have 11 children and jump into this massive effort to organize farm workers? And why does she have those sets of skills where other people might not have? So one of the things I talk about in the book is about the idea of bravery and where that comes from. So how do we take those kinds of actions? And my argument is that different people supported her in doing that, and that enabled her to it wasn't just something that she did herself, but it was something that her mother and her grandfather and Cesar Chavez and all of these different people in her life helped to support her.
She grew up in, I think, Stockton, California. Her parents were divorced, but even though her parents were divorced, she kept in touch, or at least in followed her dad's career. And her dad was an incredible story as well. What he accomplished.
That's right. Yeah. He became a legislator in New Mexico. So she was born in New Mexico and later moved to Stockton with her mother. But yeah, her father was immensely proud of her and, you know, sometimes critical too. So it's, you know, we have these different kinds of relationships with people that can be both enabling and constraining. So sometimes people support us and sometimes they say things that might not be that supportive. And she had that kind of relationship with her father that was both supportive, and he stayed in New Mexico, so he wasn't around as much, but they had that relationship.
We are visiting with Dr. Stacy Sowards. Dr. Sowards is the author of the book, Si Ella Puede. Dr. Sowards examines Dolores Huerta's rhetorical skills both in and out of the public eye. The name of the book, again, is Si Ella Puede, The Rhetorical Legacy of Dolores Huerta and the United Farm Workers. The book itself, you just received copies this week, but you gave a presentation last semester, and I know that you're going to be giving presentations throughout the area and the country. What are some of the things that perhaps you need to get out there that you feel that people may not be familiar with Dolores Huerta?
So I think I want everyone to know what an important role that she played in the United Farm Workers. She was one of the vice presidents, but she was also Cesar Chavez's right-hand person. And I was just talking about how she received all of this support from him, but he also received a lot of support from her, and she was able to push him in directions and support him as well. So it was a sort of this mutually beneficial, reciprocal relationship, and a lot of people don't understand or know that side of what she was able to do. A lot of people haven't heard of Dolores Huerta. And I think when we're living in a time when there are so many social justice issues happening today, and we look back on that history, we want to remember the work that she did, because it's so important for us to have Chicana and Latina icons and leaders who inspire us to do more and to keep up with our social justice activism.
Considering what we're going through now, the turbulent times that we have politically, I would imagine that Huerta's legacy is very important now, and especially for young people.
Oh, for sure. And even in this past election cycle, Dolores Huerta, who's 89 about to be, 89 in April, was out block walking in California and speaking at all of these different events and promoting her film, the documentary film that was made about her in 2017. So she's just been super active, traveling all over the United States, engaging in a lot of political activism. And I think that that's really important for us to remember, that things aren't going to change unless we advocate and make those changes happen ourselves.
Sometimes I think the word activist is negatively portrayed or interpreted by people. They'll say, well, that person's an activist. That means that they're stirring up trouble or they're doing this. But that's not necessarily what it means.
Exactly. And the term activism means that we're taking actions to make the world a better place, right? So all of us who work in higher education, for example, are trying to help our students live in a better world. And that's another form of activism that we're taking here at the university. So there's lots of different kinds, and it doesn't have to be about protesting in the streets, but it can be. And it's just about making the world a better place for us to live in.
She was involved, as you mentioned, with the United Farm Workers Union, but she was also one of the first people elected to the Agricultural Commission, and everything that she's done since her start in the 50s and in the 60s, it has continued to go forward. And as you mentioned, she was recently, during the last election cycle, walking and talking to people. And sometimes when younger people, when they see someone like her still out there doing stuff, they'll go, well, if she can do it, then I can do it. And that, of course, the title of your book, Si Ella Puede, if she can do it.
Mm-hmm. I certainly hope so, because I think that there can be a real sense of things have changed and things are okay, and that we don't need feminism or we don't need social justice work. And that's just not true. If we look at the farm worker situation, we still have so many farm workers today. Changes have definitely happened because of the United Farm Workers and their advocacy and Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez and Jessica Govea and all of the other leaders of the UFW. But we still see significant abuses happening in the fields. We still see a lot of problems facing undocumented immigrants, the issue that we have right now in El Paso with the political asylum seekers and refugees. And so there's all of these issues that we still need to be working on. We can't be complacent and just let the political system move forward as it's been moving forward.
During the farm worker situation, it's well known that Senator Robert Kennedy was very involved and friends with Cesar Chavez. Do you see that happening as well with politicians trying to reach out and being part of some of these social groups?
So interestingly, Dolores Huerta was on the stage with Robert F. Kennedy when he was assassinated back in 1968. She was right there on the stage with him. But yeah, I mean, I think we see Beto O'Rourke and other politicians, Julian Castro and others, reaching out to some of these social justice icons from the past, but also looking at the kind of work newer and upcoming folks are taking now. And that's definitely, I think that there are a number of politicians who are very interested in the work of Dolores Huerta and others like her.
Social media has definitely taken over our lives. And it's almost like, do you have a Facebook page? It is almost as common as do you have a phone number or anything like that? But because of that, it's been also used for good things like spreading social messages and finding out a little bit more about activism, different situations going on around the world. So do you believe that perhaps with social media and the stage that it's now can perhaps push messages like Dolores Huerta's a little bit further?
I think so. I think, not to get too much off topic, but Beto O'Rourke ran a very interesting social media campaign against Ted Cruz in the past senatorial race. And so we do see these really innovative and interesting ways of using social media. I think it's important for us to look at the kinds of social justice issues. I mean, and it's on both sides, right, that we have different kinds of articles and advocacy messages being used and promoted in social media.
So the book is Si Ella Puede, The Rhetorical Legacy of Dolores Huerta and the United Farm Workers by Dr. Stacy Soward. Stacy, is there a web page or somewhere that people can go to find out more about getting this book?
So the book is being published by the University of Texas Press. So anyone could go to the University of Texas Press website and find the book there. It's also going to be available on Amazon.com starting March 1st. And in local bookstores.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
We've been visiting with Dr. Stacy Soward. Dr. Soward is the chair of the Department of Communication, also the author of the recent book, Si Ella Puede, The Rhetorical Legacy of Dolores Huerta and the United Farm Workers. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer Sam Cassiano. We had help from our students, Gerardo Moreno and Dan Cortez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sáenz.